to Spreading the Good Stuff, a podcast for regional women who want to thrive in their work, wellness, family and community. We share stories of triumph, challenge, growth and change in business and in life, and offer helpful insights and advice to empower you to live your best life, however that looks for you.
Welcome back to Spreading the Good Stuff. Hello, ladies. Lovely to be talking with you both again. Today, we're talking about social media, and it's a topic that comes up all the time. We've seen it recently. Katrina and I were just chatting on social media, Instagram, I think it was, where Jan Fran, who's like a commentator, TV personality, sort of talked about her relationship with it and how we're all in a, what is it, Katrina, in a boiling pot of water.
We're like frogs in a boiling pot of water, except we know we're in it.
You know, and so today's conversation, we will all share our relationship with social media, where we're at, where we've been, perhaps where we're heading, and try and kind of, I suppose, come to a bit of a general consensus where we should be more aware and conscious about our use of social media. Because, you know, we talk about having, you know, time away. I know, Katrina, you had like hardcore time away. Was it last year where you just went, I'm off? And now and then, I'm really not on Facebook anymore, and now and then I will take the Instagram app off my phone just for a couple of days. You know, I like to be on it because I really like Instagram as a platform. It's where we share our Spreading the Good Stuff podcast more than anywhere else. It's probably the only place. And we did talk recently about how we can kind of get our podcast out there a bit more, and we're like, whoa, there's social media, but what else is there? Because these days we tend to put all our eggs in one basket when it comes to I suppose promotion, because mostly social media is free, but it's free in a money sense, but is it free in a time sense? And a, you know, like I think we all feel a little bit tied to it, and not just social media. Like for me, I find you've got your WhatsApps and your Messenger as well. And we recently went to Tassie a couple of months ago, and on this hike, and I'm like, right, I'm just going to go off the grid for 3 days, you know. And there was a little bit of service out there, but not a lot. But I went totally off the grid, and my husband didn't. He should have, but at one point I could hear his phone pinging because he turned it back on. And, you know, I just feel like it is so hard to actually go completely off the grid. And but do we need to? Like, because I know when I'm off the grid, I feel like I'm missing out on information. Like even, like sadly, when I was off the grid for 3 days, like a dear old uncle of mine passed away, and my family knew where I was and it was fine, but you kind of come back going, oh, like I miss that. I miss the kind of, you know, the moment, I suppose, that it happened. And there is the fear of missing out, which we tell our children and our teenagers not to worry about. But as adults, I think maybe we are just as inflicted. So what do we think about this, lady? Social media, where are we at and how are we feeling? Who wants to kick it off?
I'm still waiting for it all to blow up. I've been saying that for about 13 years. Right. Funny, isn't it? When right. My whole business is being based off the back of social media for many, many, many years. But anyway, it still hasn't blown up. It just seems to keep expanding, doesn't it?
No.
The FOMO thing's funny. I think for me, it's not a case of worrying about missing out on seeing people's lives on social media. I'd prefer to know about that through direct conversation with others, but it is about missing out on things like that. Like you're saying, Christy, so many people now use social media for absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Like every single thing that your kids are involved in, organized sport, other extracurricular things, most of that comes through, you know, Messenger and those sorts of places that are attached to social media, or even with business now, a lot of people just only use direct messaging. So you feel like if you're not in those spaces, then you're going to miss stuff. But maybe that's not true. That probably falls back to us then, doesn't it? Just to be really clear with other people, if it's in a business sense, especially, that, you know, if that's not working for you, then to let people know that, to not contact you via those means, and to be really clear around how you will be contacted. And just where you spoke before about our podcast and us having that conversation around how we do share it further when we're all a bit hopeless on social media and sharing it there, maybe it is getting back to the old email and doing it that way. So be interested actually to know even from our listeners if that would be something that they might be keen on in signing up to an email list that we could contact them that way when our episodes drop. It might be an option for us as well. But yeah, I have always had a love-hate relationship with it. I feel like right at the moment I'm not using it much at all, certainly for business. I don't think I've put anything on the Splendid Word page since February. And even then we had a big break over Christmas. So there's definitely days and moments where I think I should be sharing all the wonderful things that we're doing. And then in the next breath, it kind of didn't make sense at a time when we were closing the books to new projects to be putting anything out there, because then it just creates more interest and people coming to you needing help and then having to say no. So in that sense, I probably made a decision there to not put things on social media for that reason. And then personally, I'm like you, Christy, I don't use Facebook anymore, just don't enjoy that space. But Instagram, yeah, I do dip in and out of that. But even on my own personal page there, that's a really small group of friends. Like the people that I have on there are my closest family and friends, not so much acquaintances, purely because, I don't know, I probably am private with the things that I share on there. But I don't share a lot on there. I'm not using it a lot. I do like LinkedIn at different stages, but I feel like that has changed a lot too, and it's become a real place where it really just seems like self-promotion, business promotion the whole time, and everyone fighting for a piece of kind of that thought leader space. So I don't know. And now there's Threads as well, which I had a look at purely just to understand what it was, but I'm not doing anything in that space. So I feel like for me, I'm really considering moving back more heavily into email. I know that's the space that I enjoy most, and the few lists that I'm subscribed to, I really value. I'm really intentional around what I do sign up for, and I really love long form contact and communication. So that's where I sit, but everyone's different. Not many people, I'm told, love long form copy anymore. They want the small bite-sized pieces. So yeah, I think it's horses for courses.
Actually, interesting you say that. Sorry, Katrina, I know you've got lots to say on this, but I find I just want to say with the slow home podcast, which, you know, we listened to for like years and years and years and loved it, and she was really busy on social media and she kind of just went off everything and has slowly come back with a newsletter called The Tortoise. And she's on Substack, which has a written version and an audio version of this new podcast. And it's really interesting her take on why she's done that and how she's sort of come back into the space without, I suppose, the use of social media. She has a really challenging relationship with social media, Brooke McCallery, and I will share her stuff in the show notes. And really interesting, and just a really good way of looking at it and a way to approach it to still have a presence in a corner of the internet without being all over the social media channels. So sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that, and I'll put it in the show notes. So Katrina, tell us about Threads.
Well, first of all, before I get to that, I think what Jan Fran was alluding to and where this is so complex is that there's all this stuff around us having to limit ourselves, like we're addicted, obviously, as the platforms and the people that are creating them are not being transparent human beings. We're all getting addicted to these platforms, and that's a problem. As adults, we get addicted. Like, it's so hard for us as adults to control ourselves on these platforms, and, you know, we've got to be on Threads, and that was totally me. I was like, oh my God, I can't miss out on this new platform. We've gone through all these phases, like everyone went off Twitter, and this is what Jan Fran was saying. You know, we got off Twitter and we were all like, yeah, Twitter's terrible, that's awful. And then this new one comes along, Threads, and we're all like, quick, we've got to get on it. You know, like, oh my God. And before you know it, you're all signed up. You can't delete Threads unless you delete your Instagram platform. And it's just this churn again of people being sucked in to just another platform. And I recently listened to Sarah Wilson interviewed the whistleblower, the Facebook whistleblower, on her podcast. As you can tell, I'm a mad Sarah Wilson fan because I mention her pretty much every episode. But this was so interesting, so fascinating, and I absolutely loved it. And it was just, you know, what the whistleblower, Frances, I think her name was, she was not saying that we need to ban these social media platforms altogether. We've just got to get them to operate in in more, you know, socially responsible, more transparent ways that is better for the greater good. There's actually this huge opportunity to do really great things with these platforms. But at the moment, they're kind of being managed by people who don't necessarily have the best intentions for humankind. And so we're all being victims of this sort of, you know, just this sort of product that's not actually producing good things in the world as such. I mean, there are a lot of good things to it. So I think it's really hard as individuals to take responsibility. And I think this is what Jan Fram was alluding to. It's like we are all just like these frogs in this pot of boiling water because we know we're boiling. We know it's awful, but we can't get out because we kind of love it. And that is how I feel.
I feel like I need to jump in there just to offer another view on that. And that is, I absolutely agree 100%. And these things are built, and all of the, you know, the amazing, incredible folk that build these programs that work in Silicon Valley and everywhere else, they've all admitted to the fact that this is how it works. And their own kids, in fact, aren't allowed on these sorts of platforms. But the other thing is, yes, to an extent, we are victims, but individuals need to take responsibility for how they show up on these platforms. And that's the thing that I don't cope with, particularly on Facebook and Twitter as well. It certainly went in that direction. Like, I feel like it's just been completely hijacked by people who just, I don't know what they're like in real life, but their online personality and the stuff that they say online and the things that they spread and the mistruths and the miscommunication and just the hurt and the bullying and the stuff that individuals do on there, that's what I find so disheartening. And that's why it's a space I just have to shut off from and turn away, because it makes me start to really worry about humanity and worry about where we're all heading when I know in real life that's not how it is.
Yes, but that's how the platforms are designed. They create that, they enhance that, they support that.
But that's not how you or I, that's not how you or I would operate on there. That's not the kind of, like, the kind of things that people write and say on social media is not something I would ever write or say.
Yes, but is that a bit the same as the gun lobby argument? It's like saying you and I wouldn't go and kill someone with a gun either, but people who have access to guns do that. You know what I mean? Like, so this platform is designed to enhance that kind of behaviour and, in fact, you know, supports it. Like, it will propel that negativity. It gives that, the algorithm feeds that stuff.
But still, ultimately, an individual has a choice in how they show up online.
Yes, I agree. You're right.
I also feel like the platforms need to be more accountable too. Like, they need to, you know, like, things like hate speech and, you know, like, they're so, like, on Instagram, for example, they're so worried about, you know, not letting people write the word sex on there that they don't really, like, they let other things sit on there for too long that are really damaging, you know?
Yeah. It's both. It's like, the again, it's a societal problem and this platform's problem, and also we all need to take responsibility and accountability and be conscious about how we're showing up on these platforms.
It shows people at their worst, and that's what's just so confronting. And I wonder then, you know, when Threads came out and everyone's quick to jump over there, it's because a lot of people are hoping for something different.
I think you're definitely right. It's like we want to go back to those early days when social media was just a lovely space. There wasn't all this business promotion as much. Like, it wasn't just geared up to promote your business, and there wasn't ads, and it was just like beautiful free space where we could say what we thought. And also there wasn't as much trolling. It wasn't awful back in the early days. It was a nice place.
Yeah.
And Threads is definitely offering that for sure. But I will say also, like, I have a Substack now as well, and I definitely, like, after my big break last year and sort of getting off it, and then I was like, well, how am I going to integrate and come back into the world? And I think Substack is a really lovely platform where it's definitely a lot more, there's none of that trolling, it's a lot more positive, it's long form, it's artists being rewarded for their content rather than, you know, the ads and the platform making money out of content creators. And I think, and I disagree, Lee, I think, yes, there's certain elements of society that don't want long form, but I think there's just as many people who do crave that longer form content and who love it and who are looking for it and who want in-depth, you know, really valuable conversations and thought pieces around things. And I know myself, that's what I like, you know. And so I think Substack is doing really well for that reason. And I think definitely, you know, anyone in the marketing world still says you should always focus on your emails and, you know, don't put all your eggs on the social media basket because, you know, maybe it will blow up one day, Lee.
Yeah, well, it's real estate that you don't own. Exactly. So.
Exactly right. Now, yeah. So the question is, I suppose, how do we as individuals cope in this boiling pot of water? Like, that's, you know, like, what do we do? Like, I know for me, like, I'm really on Facebook. Like, I only jump on it on my computer if I need to check something. And often, like, you know, you do miss stuff. Like, we've been away and I've come back and, you know, there was an invite to a thing which I just hadn't seen, and my sister's like, oh, you go into that thing? And I'm like, what thing? You know, I totally missed it because it was only on Facebook, and I was like, oh, that's so annoying. And I often do give myself just because I love being on Instagram. I love sharing, you know, stuff on Instagram. And when you share stuff, you kind of want to interact with people. So now and then I'll just give myself a bit of a, you know, break. I'll just take it off my phone and just have a couple of days or a weekend or some time here and there. Or if I find that I am spending too much time, I might just limit my monitoring to, you know, twice a day or something like that. But it is really hard because it is totally addictive, and you know, and I try and put as much positive stuff out there as I can as well. That's kind of something that I think is really important to do. But then sometimes you feel like you're in an echo chamber as well, and we're all singing from the same hymn book. And yeah, it's just, it's one of those things that evolves and changes with time. And even with the kids, you know, you try and educate them. And, you know, for young girls particularly, I feel like it's really tough because, you know, what they're seeing is not real. And you try and explain that to them. But it does not help at all with how you feel about yourself and the expectations of life. I think our age, like, women are probably better at being honest about where they're at. You know, at our age, like, as you get a bit older, women are like, you know, it is hard, and they show the good, bad and the other. But the younger generation, it's all just, you know, looking its best for Instagram, which is so problematic.
If we're all finding it difficult to manage our time, and, you know, we, you know how addictive this stuff can be, and we've got fully developed brains, it's so concerning to see what's happening with our kids and this next generation who are just attached to them 24/7. And I can remember back at Christmas time having a conversation with family and, you know, older nieces and nephews being around us, and, you know, they're all kind of high school age, and everyone pulled out their phones to show their screen time. And, you know, those kids were upwards of 9 hours a day.
Oh my God.
Like, I know this is in school holidays, but it was still just like, oh my goodness. And I listening to another podcast episode on the Imperfects, I can't remember the title of it, but again, another one we can share. And they interviewed Hugh's cousin, who I think is a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but has worked a lot with young kids and has a background himself where he was bullied at school. And he talks a lot about social media for kids and what we should be doing. And basically, all he said was limit that screen time. You just have to do it. Because he's talking there about how our, as human beings, we are not evolved enough to be coping with the thousands and thousands, probably millions of pieces of input every day that are coming into our brains. As adults, we're not evolved enough to be able to cope with that, let alone kids who are, you know, at school all day and then outside of their school hours sitting on a phone just having these inputs constantly coming in and these dopamine hits nonstop. It is just causing untold damage. We don't even know what the future holds because we haven't seen it yet. I mean, for our generation, I guess, how long social media been around now? 16 years probably. So we were adults when it came into our lives, and gosh, hasn't it changed and just blown up in those years? So what's going to happen over the next few years with the next generation? I'm not sure. But we were giggling off air before just talking about different measures that we've all tried and things that we do with our own kids and ourselves to try and limit screen time. And we bought one of those boxes. I can't remember, it's some special name, but it's this huge box that's meant to fit every single piece of technology that you own in your house, whether it's an iPad or phones or, you know, game controls or whatever. So there's chargers inside the box, and then it's got a lockable key, so the whole family puts their things in at night and no one touches it. We've had it for about 3 weeks. Admittedly, we've been away, but it's still sitting there empty. No one's put their stuff in it. So yeah, just curious to know what things other people have used and have tried. We do have a limit of 7:30 p.m. the phones get put away. We've got two kids now that have phones in the house, high schoolers. Luckily schools don't have, you know, they've got their new policy now that they're not allowed to use phones at school. Thank goodness that came in. And we don't have any screen time before school. But, yeah, and look, lots of sport in the evening. So probably for our family, we're lucky purely because of the way we're living our lives and what's, you know, the different demands in our time, that there's heaps of other things going on. But, you know, on weekends or in holidays when there is more downtime, gosh, you can see them reaching for it every second of the day, which, you know, we as adults are doing ourselves. So yeah. It's not easy.
No, it's not. We have, so Daisy's the only one in our house. She's 13. She has a phone, but I restrict her screen time to an hour and a half. So just have that programmed in, so it just shuts off after that. So there's still, we still have battles with that. Like sometimes for some reason it'll let her override it and then I have to check it again. But we just constantly.
Because they're smart.
Yeah. But we're just constantly reinforcing to her and explaining to her, this is for your benefit. Like, we know how addictive these things are. We are helping you. And then, you know, it blows up every now and then. She's like, why can't I have more time? All my friends have more time. It's like, no. And then we sit down, we talk about it again. And, you know, it's still hard, but I feel really solid in only letting her have an hour and a half a day because I know how bad phones are. And we have, like, if it was up to me, I wouldn't let her have a phone at all. And we finally caved when it got like the end of year seven and everyone else had them. But I think it's really, really hard, but I think that is one thing that as a parent you can easily do. You put your PIN code in and you set the screen time. You do not let them have any longer than an hour and a half and they will hate you for it, but I feel fine with that. And it shuts off at 8 o'clock and it doesn't come back until 7 o'clock in the morning, and she's not allowed to have it in her bedroom. Like, there's no tech in the bedrooms. That's another rule in our house.
Yep.
And same. So that's for Daisy. I find it much easier to implement the rules for Daisy than I do for myself, to be honest. But so I actually bought myself one of those boxes as well, Lee. Like, it's a lockable thing. I think Hugh actually talked about it on The Imperfect ages ago, and I've had it for about a year and I don't think I've ever used it. But the idea is you set it, you put your phone in there and you can't touch it. But so I think, though, to be honest, I think the key thing is to, again, be conscious and aware of how you're showing up in your day, full stop. Like, do the work to be consciously aware of who you are in the world and what you're doing and how you're spending your time, and try to be as present as possible. And then notice and be aware of how much time you are spending on it. Notice how you're interacting with it. Notice how it's making you feel. If you're feeling awful and you're going down all these horrible rabbit holes, then it's time to get curious about why and what are you following? What's making you feel crap? Use it as a clue. But I actually enjoy the time that I spend on social media. It lights me up. It's fun. I'm really only on Instagram, to be honest, most of the time. That's where I spend most of my time. And I do notice sometimes that I am spending too much time on it, but I don't think it's out of control at the moment. And I enjoy it and it lights me up and it gives me a little bit of joy, and I'm following people that I find interesting and fascinating. And I think that's okay. I'm still hyper aware of the fact that, you know, all those things we talked about, and listening to the Facebook whistleblower interview was confronting and empowering in a lot of ways. And I think there is a lot of wrong with social media. And I think, going back to what you said, Lee, the best we can do is just try to interact with that in a way that's good for us individually. Like, that's kind of all we can do at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I like what she said too about, it's not about banning social media altogether. Like, it's not about getting rid of it. It's about, using it in ways and getting the tech companies to operate it in ways that's good for everybody. And I think that starts at our level. Yeah. All we've got control over at the moment is how we interact with it. So that's the important thing.
And I had a conversation actually with my sister about this a while ago. She hasn't used Facebook for a long time either, or really much social media at all. But she said the thing that she was missing was, you know how Facebook does very well, is brings up those Facebook memories for you. And it's so good, like, because I think we're hopeless with photo albums or any of that stuff anymore, the physical stuff. So the Facebook memories is a really great feature of it. But then if you stop putting anything on there at all, then you don't get those memories. So she was a bit torn around that. So what she's been doing is just at the first of each month, so she's not, doesn't get on there at all, but once a month she hops up and she uploads like her favorite photos from that month. It's kind of like a June 1st, here's what's happened in May. Like, it's just a dump and it's not for anyone else. She doesn't want anyone to comment. She couldn't care if anyone does or doesn't or what. But it's just so that there's that 20 photos or whatever from that month, and then moving forward, those memories pop up. And I think that's a really nice way to do it as well. But then I have one really close friend who has never been, she's our age, never ever been on any social media. Nothing, zero.
Well, that's my husband, Tim. Tim has not been on anything, and God, I'm envious of him. He's never had a fight. You know how some husbands like stalk their wives' ones, which I find creepy and annoying as well. It's like, get your own, grow up. But Tim doesn't even do that. Like, he wouldn't even know how to scroll, like, or look at a reel. Like, it's ridiculous. And I am actually so envious of him.
Yes. But he's probably not needing it for the notifications and things like for who. It's kind of like whoever's running the kids' lives and whatever, or your social calendar. You need to be on there for that stuff. Whereas my husband doesn't have to do any of, or he doesn't do any of that stuff. I pretty much decide what we're doing and when we're doing it with socially and with the kids. So if I'm not on there, I'm going to miss all the notifications about when things are on, etc. So
can I just say to our listeners, please refer back to previous episode about mental load.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly, Christy, exactly. Good point.
I think for me the biggest thing, before we move on to what we're loving, I just wanted to, for me, and I think for all of us, I think sometimes having those rules, like you were talking, Katrina, with your daughter about set times. Like for us, we have rules. Like we probably let the, let it go a bit as our kids get a bit older, which I think is bad because, you still should, try and educate your kids. But as they're like, they're 19, 17 and 15 now, it's kind of like you care a little bit less, which is really bad, but you do let it go. But we have some pretty hard and fast rules. Like we never have phones at the dinner table, and it can creep in when you're Googling something or whatever, but I'm really full on about that. And even after traveling and being around, you see people sitting at the table on their phones, and that's something that I hope will have an influence on our kids moving forward. I try not to reach for my phone first thing in the morning, which I know can happen sometimes, but I try and not make that my first thing, which is hard, because sometimes people have it as their alarm or whatever. So I try not to do that. I'm pretty good at that, but sometimes it can happen unconsciously. I've also stopped taking my phone when I go walking as well, because even though I love to take photos of nature, I'm definitely totally into nature, I find if I have my phone when I go walking in the bush, I think of someone to message, or I have to write a note about something, or I have to look up something. So even podcasts, I love listening to podcasts, but I try not to listen to podcasts either when I'm walking, because I always have to stop and buy a book online that's been recommended in the podcast conversation, which totally interrupts the walk. So I've actually found that really hard, because it's often an hour or half an hour you can go, I can listen to the rest of that podcast. So I've kind of got a few rules that I've tried to stick with. And if I'm listening to a podcast as well when I'm walking in the bush, I don't get to hear the sounds of nature. So those little kind of rules have helped me. I don't always follow them, but I think it's good to have some family rules or some personal kind of rules to kind of
And they're good to come back to, aren't they, even when things sometimes, you've come off track. Well, you know what to come back to and what helps, which, there's some great, really great tips.
So unless you guys have any more things to share about that, we might move on to what we're loving this fortnight.
Yeah, no, nothing else to share, but just would love to hear from any of our listeners around their experience and any things that they're finding that's working well for them. And just, I guess, how they're feeling about social media after, 16 years or so with it in our lives. Where are we at? A bit of a stock take would be great.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Yes, and I think also just acknowledging the challenges of it is a hard thing. It's hard.
It's hard for everyone.
Doing our best.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Who wants to go first? I'm happy to kick it off.
What are you loving?
I've been reading this amazing book. I think, Katrina, you might have talked about it in the past, but it's called Breath, and it's by a guy called, I can't remember his name now. I haven't got the book in front of me.
Tim Winton.
No, not Tim Winton. No, it's non-fiction. It's about breathing, breath and the importance of breath.
Oh,
I think
right.
He might have recommended it. Sorry, I can't remember the guy's name, but I have learned so much, and I'm looking at all my family as they're breathing going, are you breathing through your mouth? I hope you're breathing through your nose, because the importance of breathing properly is just totally underestimated, as far as health, physical health, mental health, so many things, prevention of condition and diseases, and the fact that our faces change and shift if we breathe the wrong way. It is blown my mind. And it talks about, obviously pranayama, breathing and yoga, thousands of years old, but not just yoga, all these ancient cultures have been breathing properly, and it has been a game changer for their health as well. So I'll share it in the show notes, and I've been reading it while I was away, and excellent recommendation, so I'll whack it in the show notes. Breathe properly through your nose, everybody, and full breath.
Okay, well, it's a quick one for me. I am loving my yoga teacher training, which I haven't really talked about too much, but I am doing it as well, but I've been too scared to say it out loud in case I don't finish it because I'm a serial non-finisher, but I'm really loving it, and it's just been, yeah, I'm actually just giving myself plenty of time to do it, and it's just been great.
I feel like I need to sign up.
You do. Do it.
Down the track. Couple of years, I will do it. For now, I'll just have you as my teachers, my private teachers, and that will be amazing. Mine's a quick one too. I've been loving this last week and a half since we got home from our trip is I have gone back to my top five movement book, which I haven't done for a while because I use my whole life success planner each day as well, where I often write in these things, but just at either the beginning of every morning or the end of each day, just writing down the top five things that have happened for that day. And they are all really small things that sound quite insignificant, but gosh, it makes a difference when you just take that time to be grateful for what's happening around you. And when I started back into it last week, I was just reading back through the, you know, it's just each date and the five top things from the last few years when I've been doing it. Well, I think actually I've got previous books to this and it goes back to about 2015, but reading back over those top fives, and they're all small things, but oh, it's the most joyful book that I've ever read, and it's my life. So it's just, yeah, a really nice thing to get back into, just a little reminder of those small tweaks that we can make in our lives that we dip in and out of, and it might help someone else to think now's the time they'd like to, yeah, sit down and just jot down their top five things from the day, because it's a really powerful but simple practice.
Lovely, Lee. That's a really nice way to finish this kind of brief conversation today, but I think a really helpful one. And social media is something we should all be very aware of and very conscious, and sort of, you know, it's good to talk about it because it makes us all a bit more accountable, and to not let it run away with our lives, which it tends to, because you can lose minutes and hours and days to social media each and every week. So thank you, ladies, for chatting. Thank you for spreading the good stuff, and we will be back in your ears in a fortnight. And yeah, thanks again.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, girls. Great to chat.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Spreading the Good Stuff. It is so lovely to have your company here. If you enjoyed the show, we would absolutely love it if you hit the little arrow at the top of the podcast iTunes page there, or like it on Spotify, and also give us a rating. 5 would be fabulous. If it's not a 5 for you, then maybe just don't bother. That's okay. But if it is, we would love for you to help us spread the good stuff more by supporting us. And also tell your friends about it. We all know that word of mouth is the best way to learn about new things. Maybe share it on your socials, do a little screenshot of the podcast tile, whatever works for you. But we would just absolutely love it if you would help us spread the good stuff. Thanks, guys.